The football pod with Paddy and Andy.
We wanted to hit Kerry like they were never hit before. And he goes, when we hit them, and then we go, oh, they don't like this. And then they went at them again. That's what Tyrone have to do.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
It's been a golden day for Ireland at the Paralympic Games in Tokyo. And across these next 2 weeks, we'll be bringing you the very latest from the Paralympics every day with thanks to Toyota. Hashtag start your impossible. You can find out more at toyota.ie/Paralympics. And I'm delighted to say we're joined once in studio yet again by Niamh Tallon from hersport.ie. And we've got a gold medal to talk about, Niamh. What a day it's been for Ellen Keane.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely brilliant day for Ellen Keane claiming that gold medal. She'd be thrilled. You know, she was on the podium in 2016, getting bronze in the same event. You know, in terms of going into the event, Sophie Pascoe was reclassified following surgery on her leg. She has 9 Paralympic gold medals, which Ellen certainly would have been aware of. And she commented about being starstruck about Sophie. In terms of the heat, it really looked like there is more to come from Sophie, where Ellen was certainly pushing herself. But then, you know, as things came into the final in the second 50 in the last half of the race, Ellen really pushed on and managed to cinch that gold medal, which was brilliant.
Yeah, John Kenny mentioned in the commentary of the race itself that in the semi-final, effectively, that she'd struggled with her turn, and to watch her power through that final 50 metres, because she'd made the turn and you could see almost immediately the improvement that she had made to essentially nudge herself back in front of Pascoe and have the race within her grasp then from that point on, from about 40 metres onwards.
Yeah, definitely in the last 25, she really pushed on and put her under pressure. You know, she obviously had that belief, and she has commented about, you know, using the last year to, you know, really work on herself and her attitude and everything. And it's really great to see it pay off. She has also kind of talked about the difficulty of COVID and training. And you're talking about somebody who has, you know, been in a pool, you know, known swimming as a lot of her life, you know, for the past number of years, and they were barely in the pool. So it really is great to see, you know, getting through all those kind of trials and tribulations, and her, you know, being, you know, on top of the podium, getting that gold medal.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic scenes with the medal ceremony and all of that. She's been a remarkable ambassador, not only for swimming but also for Paralympic sport over the course of her career so far. And fingers crossed, given her age profile, there's obviously a lot more still to come from her, both in Tokyo and beyond. But she has been and is a remarkable ambassador. We had her on the show on Monday. She was talking to Nicole Turner, and there's no sense, if she feels pressure, I don't get the sense that it displays itself really outwardly with Ellen. She seems to be a really relaxed, sanguine, kind of laid back kind of character. You've kind of come across her before, I believe. Is she like that in person? Is she like that in competition?
Yeah, no, look, I think she's been in the limelight for so long. Like, we've, you know, mentioned that she was 13 years old when she went to her first Paralympic Games back in Beijing. So between herself and Nicole, they've been exposed to this for so long. And Ellen in particular really uses her profile to talk about things that are important to her. You know, she really is about body positivity. And she's met, you know, families and other, you know, children that are like her, and, you know, really just does spread a positive message, which is really good. Yeah, a long time. It's been a long time watching her journey, you know, from that 13-year-old girl to now somebody that's 26. And it's just phenomenal. You know, she would have been going as a 13-year-old, which is just so young, and soaking up the environment, and now to see her at the top of the podium. And I think there's just so much more to come from her. Like, I don't think the journey is over yet. You know, we're talking about Pascoe and the fact she has 9 Paralympic medals. So what can we see from Ellen Keane?
Yeah, even to get over that kind of starstruckness today with Pascoe, and to see somebody with that profile and that number of medals in their back pocket already, and to absorb that pressure and to get over a thing, like she mentioned afterwards, that when she jumped in the pool, that her goggles filled with water. Like, I've got 3 young lads. If that happens to them with their swimming lessons, they're getting out and they're heading straight for the changing rooms crying. She still had to go win an Olympic gold medal. That's dealing with pressure on a completely different scale.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, to overcome that is really difficult. And look, it's not something that is new to her. It's definitely happened before. She's been swimming for so long, but it's certainly something that can be unnerving. So she did mention that she couldn't really see others, which kind of made her focus on her own race. She mentioned that she saw Sophie on the turn and kind of knew where she was, but it possibly allowed her to focus on that long and strong stroke that she was talking about. Like, sometimes when she goes under pressure, she says that she can shorten her stroke and not use her strength. So I don't know. know, a blessing in disguise. I'm not really sure. But look, it's certainly all worked out for her, and she has another event to come. Herself, her family, her coach, Dave Malone, obviously, they're all thrilled. Like, her family are absolutely ecstatic. Her dad was on the line earlier getting interviewed, and he was just absolutely thrilled, which is completely understandable. But I think they're also finding it maybe a little bit difficult not to be there with her, because, you know, they usually do travel with her. They're such avid fans. They're always in their Irish kit, really supporting her. So it must be a different experience for everybody. But look, we're obviously all just delighted that everything, you know, all these events can go ahead, and that we can see the athletes race and the hard work to pay off. Because, to be fair, there was a time where we weren't sure if it was going to go ahead. And in terms of Ellen, like, she hasn't had much racing in the past 2 years. I know they've done things a little bit domestically, but it's just not the same. And, you know, it's great to see that, you know, athletes are coming to the fore. Like, we've had so many personal bests and good results, like so many finalists from this Paralympic Games so far already.
You've got a bit of, you know, personal experience as regards Ellen, because I believe that you've competed against her.
Yeah.
Albeit not necessarily in the last 12 months or 2 years, but
no.
You have done before, right?
Not in the last 12 months, anyways. Yeah, no, back in the day. So I've known Ellen since, I'd say, we were about 11 or 12. So it really is, like, I think for everybody from the swimming community, like, would know who Ellen is. And there would be a cohort, I suppose, of people that are 25, 26, 27 years old that would remember Ellen from being around. And it's just, you know, it's great to see, obviously, a young woman still in the sport, someone that's 26 years old, because, you know, women do leave sport, you know, quite early. And just to see her realise her dream of you know, that gold medal. So there's a lot of people within the swimming community that absolutely are really proud of her and absolutely delighted for her. And probably did race her at some point along the way. But yeah, I'd say they're all thrilled.
Is that just modesty saying you probably did race her along the way? Is it just like it's the mists of time and so many people have been involved in
this? No, yeah, look, I remember, hey, like, there would have been kind of a gang of girls, you know, back in the day, 12, 13, 14 years old, that, you know, would have got on, had good crack. And, you know, the same people always racing each other. And it's just, it is great to see, like, her become such a great role model for, you know, women in sport, and just anybody in sport, really. And just to achieve, like, she's achieving in the pool, but she, as we mentioned already, she is, like, a really great role model. She does talk about a lot of topics that are important to her, and just spreads really positive messages. So, yeah, look, we look forward to seeing her in action again. And she'll be reunited with her beloved dog, Denny, soon, which I know has come up in a lot of conversation recently.
The dog features a lot on social media, particularly, like, for people who haven't followed Ellen so far on Instagram, I'd recommend that you do, because she's brilliant. She not only gives you an insight into, and has done over the course of the last couple of weeks, the preparation that goes into these Paralympic Games. And she had her training sessions and stuff like that, I think it was in Spain, and then off to Tokyo she went, just to get used to the weather. And then there's obviously the stuff on the dog she's dealing with.
Dog has its own Instagram account.
We've got a dog at home that has its own Instagram account as well. That's not unusual, but, like, she's just so brilliant in tackling and bringing forward the stuff that people might be afraid to ask her about. She's welcomes questions, she's really open about her situation, and she, as mentioned at the top, just a fantastic role model for Paralympic sport.
Yeah, absolutely. She's been on the scene for so long, and I think she's a really good team player, and she's just kind of sets the tone, I think, for the other athletes there, like, you know, Roisin Irín and Nicole Turner are there as well, and absolutely look up to her, and, you know, they're getting great results as well. So it's a really strong team for the last number of years, and I think Ellen is at the head of it.
As regards Roisin, she had another good day, because these things can't be brushed over, because we had the small matter of a gold medal today, but it was another fantastic morning and then afternoon for Roisin over in Tokyo.
Yeah, absolutely. She finished in sixth place in the 100 metre back crawl. She managed to get a personal best as well. So she swam 1:08, and she says it's been a time that she's been seeking to achieve for quite some time. So she's thrilled. It was a completely different reaction than the final that she was in yesterday. She seemed really delighted. It was all smiles. She had a really good turn and a strong push in the back half of the race. So she's two finals from two events. So really good results for her. On her Paralympic debut.
We heard yesterday that, you know, yesterday's event wasn't necessarily her strongest one. How many of the ones that she still has to go, because she does have a really full programme, how many of those is she likely to final in again, or at least to progress from a heat?
Yeah, she's in action in the 400 metre freestyle soon. That's tomorrow. And look, I think she is doing really, really well. She's coming up against some of the same competitors. I think we'll definitely see her in at least one more final. She's definitely pushing the boundaries. She's getting good results. It might be a little bit difficult because the schedule is pretty jam-packed. Like, she's swimming six events overall, which is obviously challenging, but she's young, she's fit, she's been training hard, and the personal bests are coming hard and fast, so hopefully we'll see a few more PBs and, fingers crossed, another final at least.
Yeah, it's remarkable stuff for a 16-year-old to routinely be making Paralympic finals on her debut. That's just, that's beyond, beyond. But as regards the other end of the age scale, I want to mention Rosemary Gaffney as well today, because I went through the notes on this last night because I was doing up the bulletin for this morning for sport, and you kind of just want a little line to see where somebody is from and all that kind of thing, to mention, oh, they're from Kilkenny, or oh, they're from Cork, or whatever. You don't expect to see somebody at the age of 62 to be making their Paralympic debut, but Rosemary is doing just that. And the injury profile that she's had over the course of the last 14 years as well is just something else. So for her to even be in Tokyo this morning was an remarkable achievement.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely phenomenal. You know, her Paralympic debut at 62 years old. She was the reserve in 2012 and in 2016. So for her, it's an absolute lifetime achievement to, you know, be on that Paralympic team and to be competing. Yeah, she's been riding since she was 5 years old. She's been in horse sport all her life. In 2007, she had an accident and shattered her knee, her tibia and her fibula. She started competing in para dressage 2 years later, and then in 2014 had another bad fall and broke 40 of her bones, which is, it's amazing that she ever got back on a horse. It's amazing to see her competing at 62. She obviously has some drive to keep going, and there is conversation like, will she be pushing to go for Paris in 2024? It's just 3 years off. We know kind of in equestrian that people can, you know, typically have a longer career, we'll say. So look, it's certainly not out of the question. She'll be excited to have been competing. She finished in 15th place today. It was the top eight to progress to the final. But look, for her, as we said, she'll be absolutely thrilled, you know, to be competing in Tokyo this time around.
We also had, they're all stagers, I guess, at this stage, Katie Georgeson Levy and Eve McChrystal back in the velodrome in the 1,000 metre time trial today as well. How'd they get on?
Yeah, they were in the 1,000-metre time trial. They finished in sixth place. They were gold medalists in the Rio Paralympics in 2016 and then world champions in 2017. From their comments and reactions, they did seem really happy. They were just all smiles in the interviews after. But it seems that they've been more focused on road events since Rio. They haven't medalled in that event in the time trial on the track since 2017. And they did comment on the fact that there is no velodrome in Ireland. And, you know, a lot of the track team is based in Spain and people have to travel and go on camps. Yeah. They spoke about the fact that they have done two camps, you know, due to COVID, which would be, you know, not very much in preparation for obviously such a big competition like the Paralympic Games. For context, like, Eve has children, she has a job, like, it's very hard to just up and leave a country to be training. So they seem to have been focused on the road racing endurance events, and from their reaction, they seem happy. They got a personal best and they called it a nerve settler. So I think they'll be looking at the next events over the next couple of days, you know, in terms of podiums. Like, look, they've been on the podium before, they know what it's all about, and you can be sure that they will be aiming to get themselves up there. But it just seems like today was you know, dust off the cobwebs, get back racing, and they just really seem to enjoy it, which was obviously great to see.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Listen, Niamh Tallon from hersport.ie, thank you so much for coming in as well. We've got a packed day ahead tomorrow as well. Greta Strimaquita is going to be on the track as well in the 1500 metres tomorrow. She, of course, was fourth in Rio. Rochelle Timothy is going to be back in action as well, and Roisin Ní Riain in that packed schedule that we mentioned there. And our Olympic coverage is brought to you with thanks to Toyota. #StartYourImpossible. You can find out more at toyota.ie/Paralympics.